You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So we have the omnipresence of God, the idea that God is everywhere, at all places, at all times. And it's a humbling thing. Today, the idea that God is with you at all times should keep you from doing things that you should not do. I pulled up to the stoplight today at Meadow Drive and 79, and there was a car in front of me, and I pulled up, and I'm waiting to turn left to go get my 75-ounce Sefco drink so I can preach to you guys today. And I'm right there behind this car, and it's a red light, and that car in front of me just pulls out. Just as I'm done waiting for this light to turn and just goes, right? And now if they were aware of the omnipresence of God, see, they would have slowed down and said, maybe I shouldn't run this red light right here. Additionally, if they were aware of what I was seeing in my rearview mirror, they may not have run because there was a Rockdale police officer pulling up right behind me at that time. And you know what grace looks like? The Rockdale Police Department officer going to Sefco with me instead of pulling over that person. And so we just waited through the light together and then pulled into Sefco together. I thought, man, that's really sweet of that Rockdale officer. It was 23 degrees and writing a ticket for running a red light might not have moved her needle at that moment, but I found it to be funny nonetheless. God is everywhere. That was one of those first omnis that I was introduced to about God. And then I was introduced to the omniscience of God, right? The idea that God is all-knowing, that there's no knowledge in all of human history that God does not know. You know, sometimes someone will come to me and say, hey, here's a fun thing I learned. And I'm like, well, I didn't know that. And the reason I didn't know that, by the way, is because I am not all-knowing. I'm very limited knowledge. I have a decent knowledge about a very select amount of information. You want to talk to me about the 1989 Texas Rangers? I'm probably okay in that area, right? There's a reason my daughter is named Sierra, right? After the best baseball player in human history, Ruben Sierra, at that time when I was a child at 7 years old, right? Right, that's just, I have a very limited knowledge base. But if you want to talk to me about, as I've said before, how electricity works, there's going to be just things I don't get. Sometimes I'm with guys and they're talking about carpentry or something, and they're talking about, well, you got to, you know, this, and they say about five things at a time, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know how you got there. I don't understand the math that you just did really quickly in your head as we wandered down this path about offsets and, you know, the 2x4 isn't actually 2x4, right? That's a lie, right? And so, like, they go through it all, and I'm just kind of sitting there like, okay. Whatever you say. When we built that deck for the lady not far from the elementary school, there's a lot of talk, and I just kind of look at them and be like, okay. I'm here to lift heavy things and to break stuff with a pickaxe. That's what I'm here for today, guys. And so to recognize you have limited knowledge, but God has all knowledge. He has limitless knowledge. The other thing I was introduced to, the other $5 kind of church word, was the omnipotence of God. That God is all-powerful. Right, that God is never at his maximum, whatever his max reps, max lift ability is, he never hits that. He always has more power. That means there's no force that equals him. There's no force that compares with him. And I see this in scripture, like in the book of Revelation. We have this battle of Armageddon between God and between Satan. And see, if I was drawing up the battle lines between God and Satan, the two great forces in history, the power of evil versus God, I would let God win in my battle because God is the good guy and I want the good guy to win. But I mean, it would be a battle. You know, the battle of Armageddon is like a verse in the Bible. It's like, and then Jesus comes back and Satan is bound and thrown into hell. Like, yeah, battles get, like, troops are gathering, but as soon as the fight starts, the omnipotence of God, this all-powerfulness of God is done. Like, there's no force that can stand against him, even for an instant. And this is really good news for those of us who struggle with sin, right? To know, like, there's no force stronger than God. And so, like, through the Holy Spirit, who dwells within the heart of the believer, we have the power to resist sin. And we can go to Corinthians, where, like, no temptation has overtaken us. It's not common for men, right? But God will provide a way of escape in the time of our temptation. Like, we can get away from all sin, and not to say you will never sin, but we have the power to not sin because God has the power to defeat all things. So guys, those three words kind of carried my knowledge of God for a long time. And I knew that he was holy and he was loving. But as we get into the book of Proverbs, one of the key facets of God that we need to focus is that there's another omni that describes God, and he's omnisapient. He's all wise. It's not just that he knows all things. He has all wisdom inside of him as well. And so when this wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs consistently, we'll see it here and again later, like chapters 8 and 9, she'll show up again. This is a picture of God himself taking on that one attribute that he has, which is wisdom, that he fully possesses, and walking the streets for us. And so we have this picture of woman wisdom, and this is a picture of God as wisdom calling out to the people. God is omnisapient. He's the one all-wise king of the universe. And what does he do in regards to his wisdom? In his wisdom, he pursues people to bless them. Right? The whole point of what we have in this first section is God is crying out in the streets. Wisdom is crying out in the streets. Listen to me. How long will you ignore me? Hear my voice. Maybe you're at the city gate. I'll gather there. Maybe you're in the middle of the marketplace. I'll go there. God is pursuing after people. Wisdom is pursuing after people so that they may be blessed. Right? Verse 23 says, look, if you'll turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you. God desires to bless you through wisdom. But you have to listen to God's voice. You need to hear the one all-wise God. You need to see his pursuit after you, and you need to respond at the proper time. Because there is a proper time to respond to God, and there is an improper time to respond to God. Jump down with me to verse 24. The proverb continues, because I have called and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. See, there's a time when it's appropriate to respond to the wisdom of God. And there's a time when it's too late. You say, preacher, that sounds unfair. It doesn't sound fair that the God of the universe, who knows all things, can do all things, is all wise, would pursue me for a time with wisdom to bless me, and then at a certain time when I need him most, when calamity and terror and storms are rocking my life, when I begin to seek him there, that I can't find him. That seems unfair. I'm sorry that it seems that way. But it is absolutely fair. Right? When I blow by a police officer going 95 and a 30, right? And he turns on his little lights and he chases me down. Right? When the lights come on and I begin to cry out and I'm like, no, I'll listen now. I'll listen now, officer. I understand now. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago, and they were in the midst of the consequences of sin. Like all the, and it was a sin that they knew so much better to do. And so they had known it, they understood it, they chose to dive into the sin, and now consequences were coming. And they said to me, now I understand why I shouldn't do this. Now it makes sense to me. But see, there's a time when it's too late. When the police officer turns on his light and say, no, officer, now I understand. I will obey the traffic laws. I promise you, 95 and a 30, I'm not getting away. right? They're probably impounding my car, honestly, and taking me for reckless driving to jail. Then I get to see Brian in awkward situations. But a large part of my goal in my life is not to see Brian Price in any professional capacity. That's really what I try to do. But you know, we don't always seek wisdom at the appropriate time. But you know, you feel that absolute terror when the consequences begin to come on your life, when the results of your choices begin to come home, and then you cry out. You say, "God, I understand now. God, I'll do better. God, the consequences are here." And God isn't going to rip you out of the consequences that you have walked into because you've ignored his direction your whole life. He's not just going to step in and say, "I'm going to fix that right now for you because I see that you seem genuinely upset by this." No, he's going to let you walk through the consequences that you've done. He's going to let my car get impounded and me to go to jail and post bond and have to deal with the consequences of a reckless driving conviction. I don't even know what the sentencing is for that. I don't want to hear right now. It's probably not good. It's not in a school zone, by the way, so we're good there, okay? Just make sure there's no force multipliers under the law. Right, but God isn't going to rip you out of those consequences. Guys, wisdom sought too late will not stop the calamity that comes for fools. Wisdom that you seek too late will not stop the calamity for fools. If you live your life like a fool, that you will experience calamity. This is the book of Proverbs in a nutshell, by the way. Live like a fool, receive a fool's reward. So if you're going to live like a fool, the calamity that comes, the fool's reward that comes, will not be stopped just because you chose today to begin to seek wisdom. Some of you right now are going to lean into the book of Proverbs because we're studying it, and you're still going to have some consequences for some really unwise things that you did in your life from maybe 6 months ago. Like, it doesn't wipe the slate clean. It's better to seek God today than it was to ignore him yesterday, but it doesn't undo the consequences for your crimes, for your sins, for the areas where you've acted foolishly. All right, there's no control Z to take back whatever you did. And some of you who work in office places understand that, or the undo button that you find yourself hitting consistently when you're doing things. There's no undo button for life. You can't just jump back and be like, "Hey, I want to undo that change right there. I want to do this differently this time." Right? The path that you're on will not just magically be changed because you're experiencing consequences and want to change. Guys, there is a time when it's too late. And wisdom sought that late will not stop the calamity that comes for you. Guys, that should give you pause today to say, if you hear the voice of wisdom calling out, when you feel the Holy Spirit in your life saying, "Don't do, avoid that, go a different direction," and you ignore his prodding, his leading, the all-wise Holy Spirit inside of you, don't be surprised when calamity hits your life. Don't be surprised when there's negative consequences for choices that you make. And we close out with verse 32 and 33. It says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." Again, the book of Proverbs is almost always going to give us two paths. There's the path of those who seek wisdom. There's the path of those who avoid wisdom. So if you're going to heed wisdom, you will thrive. But if you're going to ignore her, you will suffer. And these are the two paths that God lays out throughout the book of Proverbs. If you'll listen, if you'll heed wisdom, you will thrive. But if you ignore her, you're going to suffer. Guys, it is difficult to always heed wisdom, right? Because there's always another voice telling you that there's a better, easier, quicker, smoother way. But you need to heed wisdom. If you want to have a life that's meaningful, that's not struck by unnecessary disasters, like there's disasters that come in our lives that are not a result of like your poor planning. Like last Sunday, our organ decided to almost catch fire. Like that's not... But we didn't use the organ today, if you didn't notice, and I didn't have to jump up and you see my little legs dangling out like that, so that was all good this Sunday. We're getting it fixed. It'll be repaired at some point. Right, that's not anything, that's no one's fault. That's not Matt was unwise or Elaine, the organist, was living her life unwisely and God's cursing her with an organ that's trying to burn up. Right? That's not what was happening in that situation. That's the way of the world. But when you find yourself and you're handcuffed in the back of a police car, like, that's probably a result of lack of wisdom in your life. And God had been pursuing you in the streets for years or decades or minutes, and instead of heeding the voice of wisdom, you listen to the voice of the enemy of wisdom, folly. And instead of being wise, you were a fool. And now you're reaping a fool's consequences. Guys, I want you to seek wisdom and thrive. I don't want you to ignore her, right, and suffer. But that is the two paths that we have. But, you know, this isn't just about, like, making good decisions for your life today. There's kind of an end time purpose for this passage as well. Because, you see, there's a time in which God is readily able to be sought by mankind. God is, like, seeking to save those who are lost. He's crying out in the streets, right? You look at the church in Revelation, right? He stands at the door and he knocks. He'll open the door, right? He'll come in. And God is out there pursuing mankind. Christ came to the earth to pursue after the reconciliation between man and God. He died on the cross to reconcile us to God. And you have been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel truth. It is good news that you've been reconciled to God. But there is a time when it is too late to come to that realization. Everyone will hit that realization point at some point, right? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But it is too late at a certain time. And we're not good with accounting time. I want you to know that you should seek God while and when he can be found in your life. Today, you need to be seeking God when he can be found in your life. And if you don't know God through Jesus Christ, today is the day to seek God in salvation. Right? All of the other ways in which you can seek after the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God are really, really pale in comparison to seeking after God in salvation. God has sought you. Christ has come to the earth. Christ has died on the cross for you. God has done all of the work to secure your salvation. And he's cried out. He's given us this book to tell us about what he's done. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of preachers who tell you what God has done for you. And we stand in pulpits across the city, the state, the country, the world, and we say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. And wisdom cries out in the streets, will you hear and heed her voice? And he's calling, oh sinner, come home. If you don't know Jesus today, today's a good day to come home to Jesus. And his arms are open wide. Today is a day that he can be found. I know this because I can see you out there today. Seek him while he can be found. Because there's going to come a day when it's too late. There's going to come a day when the clouds are going to open and the Son of Man is going to be revealed from the skies and everyone's going to see, oh, there he is. And you're going to immediately be like, no, God, I'm so sorry. No, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But it's too late. He's coming in judgment in that moment. And I don't want you to be on the wrong side of that. I don't want you to be waiting on the wrong side of that. Seek God when it can be found. Maybe you know Jesus already, but you're living a particularly unwise life. And the Holy Spirit has been in you, convicting you, drawing you, saying, hey, stop doing this thing. Avoid this thing. And I don't know what your sin of choice is. Maybe you're a gossip. You hear something and you can't help but share it with someone else who might also enjoy hearing that something. And you get some delight and joy in sharing this juicy bit of news. Did you hear about so-and-so? I'm not saying there's a bun in the oven, but I'm saying they're pregnant. right? Like, you know, like we just love to talk about other people, and not in a way to edify them, not in a way to care for them, but just in a way because it feels good sometimes to share juicy stories about other people. Maybe that's your sin. And the Holy Spirit's told you this for decades. You need to stop. You need to pull away from that. When people are gossiping around you, you need to pull yourself away because it's enticing to you. Maybe your sin's lust, pornography, and you know that you shouldn't be doing those things. Right? The Holy Spirit's told you countless times, hey, that's unfulfilling. It is not going to give you what you want. You're going to feel empty at the end of this, but you say, I still want to. Wisdom has been pursuing you for forever. Calling out in the streets. Guys, I'm telling you, seek God and listen to what he says. Maybe you've got pride. You're puffed up inside of yourself. If there's a sin that I know that I have to mortify inside of myself, it's pride, right? It's just so easy for me to slip into it. I enjoy, this job is difficult for me because I enjoy adulation, and people will give it to you when you get up on stage, right? When you jump into the fiery furnace to save people's lives, as I did last week, heroically, I might add. Thank you, Eric. I do feel like the word hero has lost its power sometimes. You know, it's you know, our soldiers and people like that. But when applied to me in this situation, it's clearly appropriately used, right? I know that it's in me, that desire for acclaim and adulation. I know it's there, and so I have to mortify that. I have to seek wisdom in there and to seek humility in there, because I don't want to. Like Proverbs will tell us, like pride comes before the fall, like a humbling will await the proud person. And I don't want the humbling to come on me. I'd rather walk in humility than be humbled. I don't know what your sin is, but I know if you're a believer here today, you probably have something that God is trying to work with you on to get you closer to where he wants you to be. You need to think about that. What has God been crying out in the streets of your heart for? When you hear a sermon that's not about something and you still hear God saying, hey, remember this in your life. Watch out for this area in your life. Set some guardrails in this area of your life. Right? It's time to take seriously those things. Seek God when it can be found. Because there's going to come a time when you'll experience the consequences for living a life of a fool. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, the consequence are eternal separation from God in a literal place called hell. It is bad. There's no good in there for you. If you do know Christ, though, you're going to be the, you know, like the servants who are not ready for the return of the king. Then he's going to come back and he's going to find you in wasteful activity, doing nonsense that you never should be done, and you will experience great shame at the appearing of your king. And we don't want that. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. That when the trumpet sounds, the sky rolls back and the Son of Man descends from heaven, I don't want to be ashamed of what he finds me doing in that moment. God's blessed you with this day. Guys, I want you to seek God when he can be found. Maybe you need to believe in Jesus Christ today. Maybe you need to repent of some sins. Maybe you just need to seek wisdom more faithfully. Right, we're 18 days into the year. Maybe you're 18 days behind on your Bible reading. You can catch up. You can. It's getting harder, though, guys. It's getting harder. Today would be a good day to work towards that. Whatever it is, do business with the Lord. He desires for you to listen. That's why he cries out in the streets. His desire is to bless you. But if you'll ignore him, you will receive the just reward for your insolence, your direct disobedience of his call. Let me pray.